Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 341. I am Steve Borsch, and I am on with Tim Elliott.
And we got the blues down here.
And Phil Wilson.
I see a theme developing.
We were talking about whiskey. Off the air, and Jack Daniels.
And Jack Daniels,
then you play this stuff. It's like,
I know. What's it with you and the blues, Steve?
I love the blues. I can't help it.
Because you have never really experienced them. This is what you're saying.
You're the most positive person that I know, and you love the blues. What's with that?
He loves the blues. He lives in Eden Prairie. He's a white guy. He's got no blues.
Well, that's true. Well, you know what, though? I mean, once a year on my birthday, I get really melancholy. So, you know, hey, at least one day a year, I can listen to the blues and it's authentic.
There you go.
Yeah. See, I think it goes back to the fact that my birthday is right before Christmas and I used to get screwed out of presents. Here's your birthday present, Steve. Oh, by the way, that's for Christmas too.
Oh!
All the time. It's like, damn.
Rats.
Anyway.
They got me.
Yeah.
So what's happening? As always, it's a little slower around this time of year as far as big events and stuff happening in the Twin Cities. Well, in any kind of thing other than retail, I guess. So tech is a little slower, not as many. A lot of the meetups these days are right now kind of focused on things like, holiday parties and that sort of a thing. We had our Mobile Twin Cities thing last week with a little IoT for the holidays sort of event, and had plenty of eggnog. And you know what, guys? I still have plenty of eggnog.
Seriously? Oh,
yeah.
Too bad. Did you make everybody put their phone away and turn it off? Or?
Oh, no, not at all. We talked more. We just had eggnog. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of eggnog takers. I don't know if you know that. This eggnog's got this great holiday vibe, but nobody really drinks it. So.
Well, plus, when you drink it tonight, you wear it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's right.
Like 9,000 calories a cup.
It's like that fast.
What happened to Graham?
He's with his bride.
Ah, okay.
And I should point out, because we always talk about him when he's not here.
Yeah, I saw this email. I love this.
Yeah, he sent out a photo of the, because I asked him, I said, hey, we don't really know what your wife's crafts are when you guys go out and you set up these booths and so on. And it's jewelry, essentially, and beads and so on.
But she also does scarves and other clothes. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's sort of an accessories thing.
Right. And when he sent the photo, he said, please, I don't want to see myself photoshopped in the mannequin. You know,
that's exactly what I thought too. It's like,
you've got to do that now.
That's some sort of carnival huckster.
No, I already have something totally set up, totally different for today's show. But but that was great. Now we know what she does.
So what did you guys do for Cyber Monday? Did you go out to eat? Did you stay in to eat? Did you send out cards? What'd you do for Cyber Monday?
I bought stuff all day long.
Did you?
Really?
No, just kidding. I think I got a couple things though, but you know, nothing.
Did you really? Was there really a just really kick butt cyber deal, Cyber Monday deal out there?
There are bits of pretty good deals here and there, you know. I think you have to be selective, normal.
Well, I bought a Samsung 2200 laser printer. It's a little tiny footprint laser printer because I had an HP that was like 9,000 years old, and just like the calories that I just mentioned. But it's an AirPrint printer, and the thing is just awesome. So print from all our devices. And
I think my big cyber purchase was I bought a subscription or a license for Clean My Mac 3. So that was my big purchase.
All right.
Oh, I didn't go to Target. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, so Target had a little bit of a hiccup on Cyber Monday from what
their website
went down.
It didn't work. Yeah.
Well, did it go down? Because I was reading it. Did it go down or did it just get throttled? So a lot of people just couldn't access.
Both. So it got throttled sort of like, websites on 9/11, if you recall, CNN.com. They throttled it back to just basically text on a white background.
Yeah.
Okay. So they did something akin to that. And then they did some other things that pissed off a lot of people, apparently. So Okay. I don't know. You know, it's clearly it was their biggest day ever, so they right, do they have did. Some.
They had great sales, So yeah. It wasn't too bad, but they probably. I think the quote. What was the quote? Was like, why would you have throw a bad party and invite people to it or something like that?
Yeah. It's just, well, yeah. It's a little. I mean, it shows how difficult it is for a e-commerce site, even in this day and age, to handle that amount of traffic and that amount of transaction. So
well, I think that's probably the biggest issue is that transaction piece. My goodness, that's not an easy task to undertake in a perfect world. But when you're being bombarded by hundreds of thousands of hits, my God, that must be tough.
See, what I don't understand is why an organization like Target would not leverage a content delivery network platform like Akamai has. You know, they've got that intelligent platform that allows you to essentially replicate your application out on their edge servers, and the transactions are still handled back at the main server farm, but the application itself, you know, the catalog and everything else lives outside on their edge servers, and you can just buy access to as many of those edge servers as you need, and then you can handle, you know, millions of concurrent users.
Well, I can't imagine they're not using some kind of CMS.
Yeah, they must.
In their site. They have to, I would think.
Yeah, well, that's different, though, and caching is different and all that. This is actually, they actually replicate the application functionality
in a virtual space. Perhaps they should hire Steve Borsch.
They'd have to
hire somebody over the age of 30, which is not what Target does. Yeah, so
true.
Really? They do? They don't?
No, jeez. You kidding me?
Yeah. Well, stuff's got to scale though.
Yeah.
But also they reached a settlement with the banks for their breach back in 2013, $39 million.
I think they got off easy.
Yeah, well, I think so too.
Yeah. Cause I thought the associated costs for credit card replacement was a lot more of that, even though they may have, you know, incorporated that into the new chip and PIN cards that they're sending out now.
Right.
But I don't know. Interesting.
Have you been using your chip card more, guys? I know Target uses a chip card now. And
Best Buy does.
More and more retailers are starting to pick up on it, but just kind of curious. It's a little bit slower to deal with, but yep. I mean, at least from the standpoint of it's out of your card is out of your hands a little longer now.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is a security tip of the week, but is this really more secure? Can't someone like copy all your details off the chip?
Steve?
The answer is yes, but well, it's significantly more secure. And specifically, it's better than when you're using a debit card and you put a debit card through and then you have to put in your PIN number. Then you're exposed because if somebody gets the number and the PIN number, now they have access through an ATM or something to your account. But with the PIN, the chip and PIN, you can put the chip card in there. And most retailers no longer ask for the PIN. And so it works much, much, much better because it does what, Apple Pay does and the other technologies like that, in that they don't provide the actual card number. It's an alias for the card number.
Okay. You kind of mentioned Apple Pay. Are you guys using Apple Pay? And what is the service from Google? I think it's probably Google Pay. I don't know.
Android Pay.
Are you guys using that service more?
Yeah. I use Apple Pay at Whole Foods, Byerly's, where I get my hair cut, a bunch of places. You know, the only kicker is
Great Clips is using that now.
No, Dick's Sports Bar, no. Flagship Great. Salon.
Gotcha.
But for some reason, I have issues with the cards not working with my Apple Watch.
Oh.
You tried
to use the Apple Watch to do your pay, right?
Yeah, and so then I end up having to take out my phone to use it. Tim, have you used the Android one?
No, because I don't have a phone that supports it.
Okay.
You have to have a phone that has the secure element built in, and my current phone does not have it.
Okay.
But it's the same deal as
I always forget to do it. So I, you know, it's like, oh, I could have done that with Apple Pay.
I pay for things mostly with cash.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I actually. So
that's
use,
why. That's why Tim still carries around that big George Costanza wallet.
So. That's right. That's well, right. Because I don't still trust this stuff. So I have a Faraday cage wallet. filled with cat.
No, I use the Roman coins that I found when I was in the UK.
There you go.
With my metal detector.
All right. That's exactly with your metal detector.
Yeah. You know, actually, in all seriousness, I want a metal detector.
Of course you do. At some point, you have the Bermuda shorts, you have the high socks, you've got the sandals. You just need the metal detector.
All my wife has said is, if you do that, I'll never be next to you.
Never.
So, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to go down by the river.
But you know, just poke around with your shorts and black socks on.
And your black socks and your fanny pack. And
right.
So, so my question is, can I go with you? Because I really keep thinking the same thing. That would be really kind of fun.
Well, I went down with a buddy of mine down by the river and flew his drone. That was kind of cool. And so we were down there and I was thinking, you know, or I was saying out loud, hey, wouldn't it be cool to go along here or just to go along the river and poke around with a metal detector to see if we could find anything along here? Because, you know, people live by the river and they work by the river and there's all these different places where the ferry used to go across. And I just thought it'd be kind of cool. Not that others haven't already gone down there and done that, but, you know, just stuff like that, just poke around. Cause it's, you know, there are places like, they've caught people cause I kind of watch this stuff. They've caught people, on the Gettysburg battlefield with metal detectors, which is of course it's like a gross misdemeanor, but it's federal. So it's bad. And, I wouldn't do anything like that, but I don't know. I just think it'd be cool. You know, they've been finding stuff literally in Europe. They've been finding bags of Roman coins all over the place. They just found some in Italy. And it was a guy with a metal detector. So.
Huh. Interesting.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to Minnesota stories. So Code 42 is expanding its executive ranks.
Yeah, he's bringing in his people.
Yeah, yep. Do you think that's
Mr. Payne is bringing in his people? Yep.
Well, that's what they do. Okay. All right. Yeah. So he must have known these folks.
It's getting the gang back together.
Yeah.
Getting the band back together. Guys, I got to get you. Let's go. Yeah. We got to get the band back together.
Well, I'll tell you what though, for him to come in and then all of a sudden raise $85 million in funding, that's pretty significant.
Yes, it is.
So,
yes, it is, my friend.
And then our pals at St. Thomas, a place where they're in the running to hold our Internet of Things, the IoT Fuse conference next spring.
They're at Schultz Hall.
Schultz Hall, University of St. Thomas. So they're creating a new makerspace for the Anderson Student Center.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of interesting. Yeah. It would be a space for actually, you know, students and non-students alike to come in and use, you know, 3D printers and their sewing machines and things like that. Or this concept of bringing all of these maker elements together in an environment of, you know, sort of entrepreneurship and that sort of thing.
So, yeah. Well, and plus the fact, who's going to go buy all this stuff?
Not me.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yep.
So.
Wow. Other techs. Stories, other things that were going on. Well, of course, the whole Cyber Monday thing was the biggest ever with over $3 billion in sales.
Yeah, the big news here, though, is that a lot of it was with mobile. And if you look at Walmart, 70% of their traffic was for mobile devices.
Devices or from mobile devices?
From mobile devices.
Well, okay, gotcha.
70%.
That makes sense, though, because their demo, I would bet that their demographic is primarily their only computing device is a mobile device.
Like an iPad, maybe?
Well, no, probably a phone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That could be.
Yeah. I mean, I have a sister who, you know, how shall I say this? Financially challenged a little bit, and a lot of people are. Yeah, and one of the things that she loves is the fact that she's got this Android phone with a halfway decent screen on it, and that's the primary computing device.
Yep.
And so, of course, her daughter always, my niece always, Mom, can I use your phone? It's always. It's always the battle, but
always the battle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but I don't think we're going to be talking about Black Friday, Cyber Monday in a couple of years. I think it's the whole time frame is sort of elongated out. So there's not really these events anymore. It's kind of like it starts fairly early now.
And I don't know
if the whole, the whole discount, Cyber Monday, Black Friday kind of craze. It started at least a week early this year.
Well, not only that, but it extended. And so I kept getting emails on deals that I was kind of interested in, kept getting emails saying, oh, we're extending our Cyber Monday sale.
Yeah, because we didn't sell them all.
Yeah. And then got one Wednesday, and then I got one Thursday, and then I got one Friday about the same thing.
Yeah.
And so then I thought, wait a minute. And I looked back in my emails and here, 2 days before Black Friday on that Wednesday, here was an email with the same deal. buy this before Black Friday. So to your point, yeah, it's extended on both sides.
There was a story that was in the, I forgot exactly where it was. I'll have to dig it up for the notes here. But it basically said that there were deals, better deals before and after Black Friday than on Black Friday itself.
Really?
Wow. Yep. So if you carefully follow these things, then you'll actually find better deals on other days.
Huh.
So.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense.
Well.
So.
Yep.
All right. So, Phil.
What?
You have to weigh in on this. So, Microsoft.
Took
their
wraps
off of Power Apps, their mobile app creation service. And it's for building and managing mobile apps on iOS, Android, and Windows devices. And your engineers must be looking at this.
Nope. Because it's for Yahoos like you, Steve.
Really?
Not for professionals. For pros.
Thanks, Tim. Somewhere in well, there might have been a compliment. I'm not sure.
No, not at all. I think I looked at this and I did some. It's just really kind of like an Excel spreadsheet for mobile integration. So
that's
like,
what we want. We want the HyperCard for apps, for building apps.
Well, so
at least Steve and I want that. You guys don't want it because then Yahoo's like us. We come up with apps and makes it life more difficult for you guys.
I suppose it could be but it's not it's not I don't see this as a big game changer. I think this is a sort of a gateway to the information that you have on a server somewhere. So I don't necessarily think that it's truly an mobile app. It's more of a portal to me. Am I reading that wrong? I don't know.
Well, it is a way though to serve content. What I'm waiting for is I'm waiting for a front end tool that really, and there are all kinds of tools out there, but there's nothing that's really grabbed me yet that I thought, hey, this could be useful. But a tool that would allow me to use WordPress as the content management system and deliver it simply to a mobile app, and that would be the only delivery.
This is really, from what I understand, this Power Apps is really more of an extension of the Azure platform than really anything. So I don't know. Again, we're still building an iOS and Android. And so we're all good. But again, just part of the business here. Just remember, because now, the BuzzFeed in Minneapolis is not just mobile. It is front end and back end and web. So we do a little of everything.
Okay. Mm. I didn't know that.
So don't just pigeonhole us.
All right.
For the love of God, man.
Well, okay.
They're more than just memes.
Yeah.
They're more than just memes. That's what we say so much around the.
Well, are you guys looking at wearables then? Doing anything with wearables? So, I mean, on watches, obviously, but.
Obviously, we have an extension on a couple of our apps for the watch product. So, no, not really. I mean, other than, we're really just looking at what generates the best experience for content and, consuming content, not only on our own platforms, but across the web. We have a very large initiative for a global platform. That means really using Facebook and YouTube and Snapchat and Vine. And Twitter and blah, blah, blah. yep. you know, all that sort of stuff. So we're, that's our big goal. So, you know, as far as gadgets go, if it's a way that somebody's going to consume content, yeah, definitely. And I think that there's something to be said that for the, like the Apple Watch and Android versions of watches, smartwatches, simply because of the notification piece. So we use a lot of that.
Well, the research firm IDC talked about how wearables grew almost 200% in the third quarter of 2015.
Yeah, do they count the Apple? I didn't realize. Do they count the Apple Watch in that, or do they?
Yes.
They
came in second after Fitbit.
Well, that's at Fitbit. Well, Fitbit's the lower cost provider of that sort of stuff. So
yeah.
Well, and people love their Fitbit. I mean, my wife wears one. I wear the.
She has an Apple Watch too. Why does she do both?
She does. Yeah. So because she's had it for a long time.
Is that
not okay. a Fitbit, a Jawbone? I'm sorry.
Okay.
But she wears that because she's, you know, got all her sync set up and everything else, and she's always really liked it. And in fact, there have been two articles, and I'll put them in the show notes. There are two articles that have come out in the last week. One was a guy talking about how he absolutely loves his Apple Watch, but there are only three things that he does with it. You know, gets messages and uses the activity tracker and then something else. And then there was another article where a guy came out and was talking about how, you know, basically all wearables are bricks and they're worthless and all that kind of stuff. And I just, and they're getting a lot of play and because of who the writers are. But I just thought, you know, in some ways it's kind of how I feel about my Apple Watch. I mean, it's really cool, but I expected it by now to be able to be doing more. So, you know, it has an oxygen sensor in it. So it's supposed to be able to detect oxygen levels through the sensor in the bottom of the Apple Watch. It doesn't do that yet. And I'm sure there's a FDA approval that hasn't happened yet. But it was supposed to do heart rate stuff because it's very accurate. And it does do pulse rate, but it doesn't really do heart activity kinds of things. You know, so there's like lots of stuff that still hasn't happened yet. You know, the promise is there. And I'm just wondering if it's that way with all wearables, as people are buying these and saying, you know, I spent $350 for a new phone, and now I spend $350 for a watch, and I'm getting, you know, 500 times more utility out of the phone than I am out of the watch. So why do I want the watch?
You know? I think it's has something to do. Remember when smartphones first came about, and pretty much BlackBerry was the one that pioneered it, and you know the Trio was there as well. A lot of people, and me included, we looked at these things and said, you know what, I just want to have a good phone. Because there's so many compromises. There's if you jam all these features into one thing, it doesn't do everything that well. So I like the Fitbit because it does one thing and it does it really well.
Yeah.
You know, it tracks and it does everything, and it's got really good integration with the phone, and it just does that. And yeah, I know that an Apple Watch or an Android Watch does this, you know, has that feature plus some other stuff. But it's so complicated, and I think a lot of people may be just saying, you know what? I'm just going to get a $100 Fitbit and call it a day, yeah. as opposed to, you know, fooling around with these smartwatches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my wife and I talk about this a fair amount, and she adores it. She goes, Steve, you need to talk to women, because she said, you know, I got to tell you that having to fish my phone out of my purse or out of my briefcase when I'm at a trade show is just a pain. And I love having my watch available.
And, yeah, if you travel like she does, I think it really would add a lot of convenience.
Well, even when she's shopping, I mean, she's talked about being in the store, and I used to send her text messages and she'd never hear them. And now she gets them all the time because she has her watch on. And she says, mm-hmm. you know, Steve, at the end of the day, it's not safe for women to, you know, be somewhere, you know, if they step into an elevator and they got to fish their phone out of their purse, you know, it's just not secure. And when you can just do it on your watch, it's much more secure. So I thought that was kind of an interesting perspective. So anyway.
Anywho. Anyway. Okay.
Well, so cars are going to be the next, not really wearables, but the cars.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to be wearing your car there?
Going to be wearing your car. Well, but everybody's talking about the car being the next big digital platform. And now Ford has that Ford Sync, which I thought was Windows only, but apparently.
They changed. They switched.
They
switched to the BlackBerry, the QNX, which is owned by BlackBerry.
Okay.
And that gives them basically a back end, which is sort of agnostic to whatever front end you want to stick on it. So I know it works with the iOS Auto, whatever they call it. What do they call it?
CarPlay.
CarPlay. And then so it works with the Apple stuff, and it works with the Android one too. So it allows the car maker to say they're going to, make a decision on, or the customer ultimately makes a decision on what they want to use.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it uses their phone as the determining factor.
That's smart.
Yep.
Yeah.
It really is, because we have Sync in a what is our 2011 model, and it's based on the Microsoft stuff, and it works, but it's really clunky, and sometimes it doesn't switch over to Bluetooth streaming very well, and it's just kind of bad. And My in-laws have a, I want to say it's a Nissan or it's a Honda, one of the two. Anyway, and their system is really good in comparison, where it, once you connect your phone to it, every time you get in and you start up, it like connects everything. And if you want to listen to Bluetooth, you just say, hey, play whatever music, and it plays it. With the Ford, you kind of have to like switch it over and then do the second thing, and it's very clunky. So this with Siri looks like it's a big improvement over what they've had.
Well, and for a guy that bought two of them, Priuses in 2013, and part of the appeal to me about this was the apps and the Bluetooth syncing capability. And the experience is so bad that I've literally disconnected my phone from the car. I just don't use any of that stuff. I don't use the maps. I don't use anything. And so that's the downside with having a proprietary technology that you can't upgrade and can't update, is I'm stuck with it now as long as I own this car.
Yeah, you got to buy a new car.
Yeah. Yeah, which kind of defeats the purpose, but...
Well, so this modular approach that they're taking, at least Ford is taking, is a very smart thing, because you're going to have the car for, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, let's say. You're going to want to have the upgrades, and all the upgrades happen in the handset.
Yeah.
So
yep,
why exactly. why not just create a screen that is sort of a projection device for your phone, and then let you upgrade the phone every year or two?
Yeah. Yep. Sounds good to me.
Yep, for me.
Well, Ford's on the right track.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of upgrades, too, Yahoo, there was some conjecture that they were going to upgrade their CEO away from Marissa Mayer, but it looks like they're sticking by her for now, anyway.
There's so much smoke in the air. I doubt it. I think that she's out after the first of the year.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. But her severance package looks pretty good.
Well, what is it, $45 million or something?
Well, no, it depends on how they get rid of her. So if they just outright fire her without selling the company, basically, she'll make between $25 and $36 million, something like that.
Wow.
Depending on what the stock price is, because much of it's in stock. And she can make more, over $100 million, in fact, if they actually sell the company from under her.
Oh, jeez.
So.
Well.
There's a good article, though, in the New York Times that I have linked that, it's basically saying that she wasn't bold enough and people expected her to be more bold. And, for a first-time CEO, she's done okay. But I didn't expect her to do bold things because she doesn't. She's never done this before.
Yeah.
And you'd need someone like a Steve Jobs to come in and do this. This is not something that's super easy to do, to take a company like Yahoo and to try to, figure out what they're good at and go for it. So I don't know of anybody that they could bring in that could have done any better than what she's tried to do, which is not worked very well up to date.
Well, I know that I've appreciated some of the stuff she's done. You know, the changes at Flickr were positive. Right. And I don't use Yahoo Mail, but there were some good changes there. And that if everything was equal, if Gmail was just starting and Yahoo Mail, as it is today, was just starting, you know, it would be kind of a toss-up. But boy, it's, you know, the horse has left that barn a long time ago.
Yeah.
And
of the major ones, I think that outlook.com is the best. But it's
been,
you're right, the horse is way out of the barn.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a story. That's going to be one where we're going to, at some point in the not too distant future, we'll say, "Hey, remember Yahoo? Remember when they were around?" Oh, jeez.
Yep. I don't know. I think it'll probably transform into something. I don't know what it's going to transform into. Yeah. Or
you know, I'm going to make a prediction out, so. Here.
Yes.
I'm going to make a prediction that Phil will not comment on. BuzzFeed is going to buy Yahoo.
Oh, that's actually a good one.
That's what Yahoo needs. They need more memes.
It's true.
Huh.
They need more listicles. Come on. We need them. We need more explainers.
I don't think BuzzFeed's in that, at least as far as I know, anyway, in the market for buying stuff.
So, I know.
That I know of.
But that kind of mashup, that would revitalize the company.
Well, we actually have an agreement with BuzzFeed or Yahoo Japan. So we do work with Yahoo Japan for distributing BuzzFeed content there. So
interesting.
Mm. So, but that's them looking for us to help them. Yeah. So. At least as far as I can tell.
But, well,
you know, I'm just a cog in the wheel, man.
Yeah. Well, I've added secure socket layer to a bunch of my sites.
You have?
And, you know, just
how does that feel? Is that nice?
Well, I mean, it's little stuff like having a gravity form on my site where people can actually upload files to me up to 16 megs.
Yeah.
And then there's a box that they can put their credentials in and so on. Pardon me. I've done that on my own personal sites, and I've done it on my company sites and all of that. And so things are encrypted. But, you know, it's still not super simple. Most of the hosts you can pay more money and you can buy a certificate directly from them and install it, and they'll install it for you and all that. And a lot of times you have to get a dedicated IP address because they're not using SNI, which is a technology that allows you to apply these certificates to a dynamic internet address for your server. But the Electronic Frontier Foundation has been pushing security on websites for quite some time, has a free tool out for Let's Encrypt, which is going to be free SSL certificates for anybody that has a website on a server or is running a server of any kind. And the tool's in public beta. It's still way too geeky, I think, for you know, the run-of-the-mill person. But this whole thing is going to be easier. And I'm going to bet by the end of the first quarter of 2016 that just about everybody will be able to get a free SSL certificate.
Nice.
For their site. So that'll be
really great. You don't have to pay $50 a year.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
I think so too.
Excellent.
Security is a good thing.
It is. And speaking of security,
release the horses.
Steve's security tip of the week.
Okay. All right. So this is a revisited tip, but it's one that has new. Okay. Life
you just
want to
hit
to
that. You just want to beat that horse while it's on the ground. Don't
wait
you?
A minute. That's wait right. a minute. What? Is this really a revisit or is this more nagging? Is this really? Well,
this is an absolute revisit because there's been a big change.
Okay.
All right. So here's the tip.
Yes.
Now it is absolutely positively time to stop using Adobe's Flash because finally even Adobe says not to use it anymore. And they confirm that the open standard HTML5 has won. And so here's what's happening. Adobe's shifting away from Flash. They just announced a new name for Flash Professional. They're calling it Animate CC. And they have really changed their corporate stance on Flash. And I'll put a link in the show notes to their blog post. but this was a big deal. You know, a lot of the platforms, you know, Hulu and Netflix and others for quite some time used Adobe's Flash platform for their over the top television delivery for multi-screen networks. And they just came out with a big blog post on Adobe Primetime, which is their over the top Flash platform, about their commitment to HTML5. So this is a really serious thing. I mean, when they're going to go do that, because that's a huge piece of their business, it's a big deal. So I'm going to put some stuff in here about security, but boy, I'll tell you what, when Adobe essentially says, you know what, Flash is dead, that kind of puts a nail in the coffin. So I'm going to once again put the uninstall Flash stuff in there for Windows and Mac OS, how to enable and disable Flash if you need it inside Google's Chrome browser, and obviously disable it if you've uninstalled Flash everywhere else. And then I'm also going to put a link in there to Steve Jobs' original Thoughts on Flash memo, which is still on Apple's website, which really started the whole thing after the iPhone came out and people were complaining that iOS didn't have Flash on it. And he did his Thoughts on Flash, and that's really what started this whole movement.
Yep. So well, it was a good reason why it didn't have Flash. It was way underpowered, and you know, Flash running on a little phone at that time would have been just terrible.
Yep.
I mean, Android did it, and after they did it, it was just such a terrible implementation that they canned it.
Right.
So.
Well, and the security implications as well. I'm going to put a link in there about the Flash security updates that have happened in 2015. There's been 14 of them, and almost every one of them has started off that this update addresses critical vulnerabilities that could potentially allow an attacker to take control of the affected system. And there was just this news article that came out about porn sites, the big ones. I forget the names of them because I don't pay attention to that.
That's not true. And, jeez, that's such a...
Anyway,
they were using Flash.
Malware was being installed through the browser, and one of them had an attack vector in Flash. Wow. So, you know, it's just please uninstall Flash, everyone. And that's my tip.
Sounds good.
Works for me.
All right. As long as you guys still love me. That's all I care about.
As always.
All right.
Of course we do.
You get our
respect.
I know.
And friendship. That's what
you're
get.
Freaking adorable. How could we not love you?
Thanks, you guys. Well, in fact, I see that you guys had me down for your cool thing of the week, but then you made a change. You made a change to it.
It's both
thing of the week.
Yeah.
Phil, you know, that, both the same thing. Steve Borsch. That's our cool thing of the week.
I got to tell you. I think I would consider Steve Borsch easily a cool thing of the year. So
sweet.
Wow.
Sweet.
Nice.
It's not even my birthday yet, and you're
leave it's
throwing me a present.
Close.
All right. Well, okay. Let's get real serious now, because this is a seriously fun thing. So, Tim, you go first this time.
So I was listening to the Material podcast this week, I think I was a couple episodes behind, so it's not the most recent episode, but they were talking about this new app from Bajango called Scala Preview, and it's basically for doing mobile apps, and it allows you to send down your comps, basically, of mobile apps for testing into your mobile devices. And I thought, wow, this is a cool thing. But what's really cool is if you go down and you click on one of the links, it takes you to their page for Scala, which is what we've been looking for, Steve. This is it's a professional tool for doing interface design for mobile apps. So it looks
interesting.
It looks like a really good tool for even for people like Phil's guys.
Huh.
So something to keep an eye on. In Bojango, we know them for many of their other apps on the Mac side. iStat Menus is probably their biggest one that we all, you know, have. But they had some other apps in the past. But this looks really good, and I'm hoping that whatever it says coming soonish, hopefully that will mean next year we will see something that may make it easier to at least design the front end to mobile apps.
Yeah. Well, I know you can get all these layered Photoshop
yeah, files.
Tools, but oh yep. my God, what a pain. So yeah, anyway.
Well, this takes those files and it does something to them. So I don't know. It's something to take a look at. I heard about it. They actually had an ad on the podcast and I said, yeah, that sounds like a cool thing. And, yeah. and indeed it is.
You know, you could also just hire somebody that knows what they're doing.
You could.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
And then
Phil, I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
No, that's true.
And Phil, this is a, yours is, has something to do with Black Dog Heroin.
There you go.
No, I had originally put in the cool thing of the way I, you know, I always try to look for the rather unique. And I was pleased to see that somebody's finally developing the cannabis e-cigarette. So, once again, I can go to rock concerts and feel at home, but, no, that while that one held some interest to me, this one takes the cake for me. It's the Aganos arm. If you want to take a peek at this, the Aganos arm is a chin rest that holds your face in place while you work.
And you clamp it on your desk.
You clamp it on your desk.
And it's got a little hand, and you put your chin on the hand.
That's right. And you rest your chin on the hand.
So if you've ever wanted a third hand, now you can buy one.
There you go.
I'll have to say that there are the weirdest things coming out of Japan that are like this.
Yes, there are.
Unbelievable. And
this is not the first of the weird things I've seen like this.
Yeah, but they have TV shows where people's heads are in these, popped up in these holes in a table, and it's covered with a plastic dome, and then they release rats, you know, to see who's going to keep their head up there the longest.
Where did you?
I swear to God. All right, I'll try to find this.
Where did you see this?
It's got to be YouTube, right?
Well, yeah, I saw it on something where they were showing these clips of Japanese shows, and it's some terror show or something, and so they have all the contestants pop their heads up in the holes, and it's covered with a plastic dome, and then they release rats in there, and the rats are running around, and the last person to have their head up wins. You know, and I mean, these rats are like coming over and chewing on this guy's ear, and it's just like, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah, I know. All right.
Oy, oy, oy. Anyway.
Well, anyway.
If you want to get the arm, you can also use it as sort of a, you know, a permanent face palm if you want.
Yes. Well, so my cool thing of the week was a newly released Google Street View of Machu Picchu in Peru, and I've been there, so it was even more fun to go through it and look at it, and I was really impressed, and that led me then to look at some others. And so
is one of these people there looking at Machu Picchu? Is one of them you?
No, because they just you know, it's one of those backpack cameras that somebody hiked around in there with, but that led me to the Google Street View gallery.
Yeah.
And so I looked at the gallery, which then in turn led me to the Google Street View app. And so I'll put links in there for Android and iOS. Oh. So I've been spending a little bit of time poking around Google Street View, and it's
any tours of Minneapolis in there?
No.
Oh man. No.
And the TV studio stuff is a lot of stuff's dated now. Okay. But anyway, pretty cool stuff. So
that's very cool.
Yeah. So in terms of upcoming events, there's not much going on in December, obviously.
It's a little slow.
But EduCelerate's having a holiday gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And then that mini analytics in January.
There you go.
So those will be big. And
yeah, well, as we get more stuff starting to roll in, we'll put it up there for you.
Excellent. So,
and then between now and then, we'll go to events, we'll do some digging, and we'll talk about it all next week on
the Minivate Gang Podcast. Take care, boys.
Have a good week.
Goodbye. Yeah,